Welcome to the Mindset, Magic, and Manifestation podcast hosted by me, Michaela J. Get ready to dive into an action-packed, bougie-based, and spiritually guided experience on all things manifesting your next level luxe life. Let's go. Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to the Mindset, Magic, and Manifestation podcast with your girl. It is I, the Michaela J, here to teach you how to manifest your next level luxe life. We're back with a new episode, new week, new episode, new vibes, and this one's really fun because I brought my friend Lauren on the podcast to talk about all things twin flames, spiritual relationships, healing heartbreak, and channeling your healing into a creative project. So my friend Lauren, let me just give you a little breakdown about Lauren. So we both moved into the same apartment complex in 2020. We literally were like five doors down from each other. We met in the most random way. My brother had moved in with me. And my brother is just super outgoing naturally. And so anytime he's in an elevator with somebody, he's making friends. And him and Lauren ended up in the same elevator. They started talking. My brother was like, me and my sister hang out down at the pool all the time. You should come down and hang out. You would love my sister. And one night we like all went down and we're sitting in the hot tub and like drinking wine, just chatting. And Lauren and I instantly clicked and instantly vibed. And I think we joke about this in the episode, but we both feel like we only moved into that apartment complex because we needed to meet each other. And it's super funny. She had told me that she knew we were like soul sisters because one of the first things I told her was like, yeah, I met my alien parents in a breathwork session. And she was like, I love this girl. Who is this woman? So Lauren is one of my really good friends. We are soul spiritual sisters. She just published a song on Spotify, which is so fucking cool. You guys will get to hear it. It'll have it linked in the episode and everything. But we came to talk about twin flames because Lauren had met her twin flame and went through a whole journey with that. I thought at one point I had met my twin flame, and as I talk about in the episode, I realized that was actually a karmic relationship and not a twin flame one. So Lauren and I were talking about how we knew we should bring this episode to the podcast to talk about just different types of relationships and our experiences so other people could learn and benefit and see their own relationships or notice red flags in relationships moving forward. So you guys are going to love this. You're going to eat this up. Lauren is amazing. She's so open and vulnerable and honest and funny. So it's a vibe. It's a vibe. But before we dive in, we have our life update and our sponsor of the week. Of course, our sponsor of the week is Your Excuses Are Fucking Boring Masterclass Series. Now, we talked about this last week, and I told you guys that I was doing this. This is going to be such an experience. It's a five-day experience where over the 5 days, you get access to me in a radio broadcast answering any and all of your questions. I'm brain dumping my thoughts, how I process emotions, how I process my boring fucking excuses and get out of my own way for 5 days straight. And 3 days of that, you're getting individual masterclasses. So it's like plugging into my world as if you could like text me, hear the things that I say to my best friend, hear the ideas that are going in my journal for a whole week. It is going to be so fucking good. It's only $297 on pre-sale right now. It's happening the first week of April. So imagine kicking off your spring with that up-leveled energy, really knowing how to eliminate your excuses and become a clear channel for manifestation. I'm like so excited. I can't even talk. It's going to be a fucking vibe. So I have the link for that in the show notes for you guys. And if you have any questions, feel free to DM me on Insta. Life update. Okay. I have been doing this 10-minute quantum leap meditation almost every single day for over a week now, and it has been nuts. Like, it has been seriously nuts. I'm going to link it for you guys in the show notes. It's just a meditation on YouTube, so you can listen to it for free whenever you want. And every time I do this meditation, I come out of it and something has manifested. Like, I get a payment, somebody signed up for something, I get an email about a podcast sponsor. Like, just one thing after another, it'll literally be I like open my eyes, I reflect on the visualization. I grab my phone and like something has manifested every fucking time. And it's just been such a great reminder to spend time visualizing every single day. So the meditation is like a quantum leaping meditation. You spend time really visualizing your next level self, a next level part of your life. I always see myself in like my dream mansion, recording Instagram stories in my kitchen, like frolicking in my yard around the pool. And then it has you do like a money visualization with it, which is really, really cool and kind of helps you get into that mind space of quantum leaping, how much money you can actually bring into your life. It has just been a vibe. Okay. So I want to challenge you guys to do this meditation with me every single day over the next 7 days and watch your mind be fucking blown. Like I said, I'm going to have that link for you guys in the show notes. It's just on YouTube. It is so absolutely good. But without further ado, let's dive into this episode with my friend Lauren, talking about all things relationships, heartbreak, how to get over breakups, creativity, taking your power back, and everything in between. Enjoy. Welcome back to the podcast, you guys. You're here with my friend Lauren, who we introed in the intro of the podcast. Sorry. Hi. Welcome. And Lauren and I are here today. We're going to be talking about everything from twin flames to soulmates to karmic relationships to heartbreak, the messiness in all of it. I've gotten a lot of requests in the DMs to talk about heartbreak, how we move through heartbreak, and also talking about just the different types of relationships you can have as a spiritual woman. And we both went through a very interesting breakup series in our lives last year. And Lauren made a song about it. So that was pretty cool, and we're going to talk about that. And both of us were in one of these types of spiritual relationships. So we're just going to kick it off by talking about what is a twin flame. And a twin flame is, so there's four types of relationships. I would say like three spiritual types of relationships, and then just like random like life partners, right? So one of those spiritual relationships is a twin flame. And the idea of this person is the other half of your soul. So let's say in like a past life, you guys were living on a star together, or who knows what the fuck you were doing, right? And you were one unit. At some point in that reincarnation, your souls were pulled apart and put into two different bodies. And that is your twin flame. And there's a couple signs when you know somebody is your twin flame, but they're basically exactly like you. How did you know your ex was your twin flame?
Literally based on everything you just said. Like it was the chemistry in all facets, mm-hmm. just took zero effort to click. Like yeah. it was like instant physical chemistry, instant emotional chemistry, instant mental chemistry, instant spiritual chemistry, like everything. It was just like it clicked so fast and so hard, mm-hmm. that it was almost like meeting yourself. Like yeah. meeting like a counterpart or a different me in like a man's version,
basically. Yeah. And like how scary, like meeting somebody and they're just like, you were exactly like me. I don't know you, but why do I feel like I know you?
That's like one of the biggest things is I remember like the first 2 months that we were dating, I remember actually saying to him, like, and we said it to each other, I feel like I've known you my entire life.
Yeah.
And it had only been such a short amount of time, but I felt like I had known him forever. Like, I didn't need any more time to get to know him. I just knew who he was already. Yeah.
And it's like so freaky because it's literally the idea of like having your soul ripped apart. It's like, of course you already know them, because it's right. And you might not know them, but you know their soul. And especially in relationships, I feel like that's the most important part is like, do you see them as like who they are? And so with twin flames, it's like this instant, you're connected on a different level. And I know in my experiences with twin flames, it was like, we have so many parallel realities of like, this is such a weird quote unquote coincidence, but we don't believe in coincidences. And it's like, how were we doing this similar thing at this similar time in our lives? And like, how did we have these weird journeys? And how did this end up here and there? And you're just like, what the actual fuck? Because it's like the universe, like moving things around for you to meet this twin flame. Yeah. And it's just like such a strange idea that this is like
the other version of you. And a reason why a lot of twin flame relationships don't end up working out is because, like, they're the shadow parts of you and you're the shadow parts of them.
Like, think about, would you want to be in a relationship with yourself? You know, like, at your shadow parts.
At your worst.
Yeah,
literally.
Your worst. Yeah. That's literally what it was. So it's but I also feel like when you meet your twin flame, which this is the first time I had ever experienced something like that, but there's so many different types of then relationships that you can have with a twin flame, like a friendship or a marriage or a relationship, or, and I'm sure they're all tumultuously different, or, you know, for all the reasons, but it was like dating a best friend or like a counterpart of yourself.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, so weird. And so it makes it seem so easy, but then, like, it goes to this stage where it gets really hard. And so with twin flames, this is, like, so fascinating. There's this twin flame journey, essentially, that you go through because you meet them. There's, like, this instant knowing, this instant seeing, this instant understanding, and kind of putting together the pieces of, like, this is the most confusing thing I've ever experienced, but it, like, feels so natural. And so you, part of you wants to resist it. And what happens in that process is one of the two counterparts typically does resist this type of connection. And with twin flames, it's really normal to have a runner and a chaser. And so the runner is the person who's like, this is a lot. I'm scared. This is going in too deep. I'm going to run away from what's good for me, essentially. And the chaser is like, this is so good. I don't want to lose this. This is a connection I've never felt in my life. I'm going to chase you down. And this happens in almost every twin flame story. And typically, that's when things start to separate, because there'll be one person running, the other person chasing, until that chaser gets too exhausted and they quit. And that's typically when the runner... it's like, oh, they're not chasing me anymore. Okay. And they do some reflection, they grow, and then they start chasing the other person. And it's so messy. This is why twin flame relationships have this reputation of being super toxic, because of that exact dynamic. Literally, like, somebody's like basically like thirsting after you, and the second they stop giving you attention, then you start paying attention. It's so toxic. And the goal of meeting your twin flame is having union, which is where you become one unit. So whether you're in a successful relationship, a successful marriage, whatever, so be it. I know a couple people who are with their twin flames and married, and that's the quote unquote goal. But a lot of people don't reach that, because in that runner chaser phase, it's super toxic. One person's doing all the growth and the other person is sitting on their ass a lot of times, like, not doing anything, and it becomes super complicated. Do you feel like you are the runner or the chaser?
Oh, I'm absolutely the chaser. Always. Like, this is my mistake.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I'm used to, like, listening to you, like, do episodes or talk about anything, like, on your platforms. And I always have moments when I'm listening to you and I'm like, you know, like, those, like, aha moments of, like, how did she know that? Or, like, oh, yeah, this happened or that. And so I'm just, like, sitting here now live on camera, like, having these live reactions and be like, yes, I did that. Oh, that was me. But I definitely think that I was the chaser. And I was definitely the person who was, like, trying to hang on to that connection, because I knew it was so special and I knew it was, like, so rare and so important, and I really was madly in love with him, you know, like, it was real love. I'd been married before, and I remember knowing, thinking, and sharing with him that even having been married before, I had never felt that strongly for someone, including my own husband at the time.
Yeah.
So I definitely did all of the chasing and all of the growing while he was kind of just staying stagnant in his own self, coasting in the relationship. And then I think, you know, when we broke up and it got to a point where I finally stopped chasing him, that was kind of when we reconnected.
And you're like, wow, and they want me now, because, like, I'm not chasing them down.
I felt he made me feel like he was like he had truly missed me, like mm-hmm. he wanted to spend time with me, he wanted to do all the things that we never got to do when we were dating, like taking trips to Six Flags and going out to dinner at restaurants we wanted to try
things, yeah.
Yeah, like doing like dating things, you
right.
know. And then of course it with the undeniable chemistry, it always leads to physical connection as well. Because
mm-hmm.
when we're together, all of our connections are at
right.
the forefront. And it turned into then him chasing me a little.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then when I showed a little bit of emotion, then he ran and I started chasing.
So
yeah.
So then it's like this
it's
big,
just constant back and forth. And it's like,
yeah.
who is really in this, like,
yep.
like, are we just playing a game?
Yeah.
Like, is this just for, like, kicks? Because, like, I'm bored.
Is this for shits and giggles? Because
yeah.
I'm out. Like, count
yeah.
me out. Like,
yeah.
your excuses are boring. I'm done with this. Yeah, and that's just such bullshit, because it's, like, it was a whole thing, just a facade of, like, oh, well, you wanted me because I was no longer giving you that attention, but you wanted the attention, but you didn't want me.
Yeah.
And so, oh, my gosh, the separation phase for twin flames is,
it's
always,
excruciating.
It's so hard, because it's, like, oh, you finally meet this other half of you, and then it's, like, ripped apart.
I felt like I had lost my best friend in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like completely, like, you miss that connection. And, like, when he's a part of your life or when your twin flame is a part of your life, there is a lot of positive to that because there is a real connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you just miss the connection. And so separating is so difficult, and it's such a long process. Like, I've even mentally coached myself lately, like, come on, you got over so and so in like a week, like,
yeah.
why is this any different?
It's
you
so
know?
Different.
But it's so different. I find myself like being pushed and pulled, like, I want to text him, I want to
mm-hmm.
call him, I want to see him, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I just know that it would end up in disaster.
Literally.
Like, when do you let it go?
Yeah, and the interesting thing with twin flames, and I know we've talked about this before, it's like, it's a physical feeling in your body.
It's whole
so
body.
Intense, where it's like a gravitational pull, it feels
such
like. And
thing.
So, yeah, and so if you are like in a separation phase with a twin flame, like 100% of the time, I'm going to recommend no contact, zero contact.
She did recommend this to me.
I did.
I did not take
it. She didn't listen, but I did recommend it. It's okay. Everyone has to learn their lessons somehow.
Lessons learned hard.
Because
right
doing the connect or like still being connected to this person and having like literally like talking to them, having conversations, seeing them, whatever. It's like neither counterpart is actually going to have that growth because
yeah.
it's kind of like when you go on like a solo trip and you like find yourself or people
yeah.
say they like want to go and see the world, whatever. That's kind of what you need in that separation phase from your twin flame, is like to be totally on your own, especially the person who is the runner. The chaser has to cut that off so that person can actually reflect on their actions and hopefully grow from it. Because I think the biggest thing with finding your twin flame and finding somebody that is literally your counterpart is growth on both ends.
Yeah.
And so, because it's like you're seeing kind of like the worst parts of yourself and then
yeah.
vice versa. And so the goal would be from all the mirroring to see it, heal it, grow from it. Because after that, if you have union, that's going to be one of the best relationships you ever have because
right.
you're both healed. Most of the time, one person is not going to heal. And so when you're in a no contact phase of that, you just get to work on yourself. And if they never come back and present themselves as like a higher version, then it's not meant to be in this lifetime.
Right.
It's so difficult though. And then, cause again, there's that gravitational pull where you like, you want to talk to them, you want to see them. There's
it's
such
debilitating.
A big part of their life.
It's debilitating. Like the gravitational pull to reach out and the need or the fact that you think that you need it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, because I know, like, I don't need him. I
yeah.
know that. But the feeling that I need him is stronger than that.
So intense.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting seeing, like, your journey and thinking about mine that actually recently, as I've been, like, researching different types of, like, spiritual relationships, I actually think what I thought was my twin flame is a karmic relationship.
What is the difference?
Which is so interesting. Which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm so interested to see if you think that this is like how your ex-husband is.
Oh, okay.
So I'm curious about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's air out
same
all
day.
My relationships.
Yeah. saved it for the episode.
No one is safe.
No
this
one
is like a Taylor Swift song. No X is safe right now.
No one. Literally no one's safe. So in researching more about different relationships, because these are things I obviously talk about with like my clients and just in studies and stuff, a karmic relationship mirrors a twin flame where you have like that instant chemistry, the instant connection. You think that this is like, wow, we've had all of these coincidental experiences, whatever, but it's really toxic from the get-go.
Okay.
So like either the way you connected or why you connected was probably super toxic and shallow.
Like getting wasted at a bar and hooking up.
Just whatever might be toxic,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like talks from the get-go and neither party gets to really learn and grow. So the thing with that kind of like differentiates these two types of relationships is with a twin flame, you're learning and growing through your own shadows.
Mm-hmm.
With a karmic relationship, they're breaking down parts of you that were not broken.
Oh my God.
And that's like
another like aha moment.
Seriously, guys, the more I researched it, the more I realized that's what mine was, because it's like some of the things that I had to learn through and grow through when I thought this was a twin flame are the shadows I had to work on and heal were problems I didn't have before. Like, I went through like serious like confidence issues because of things that my ex would say, and just like so many insecurities that I never had prior to that.
Oh, my ex-husband was absolutely a karmic partner.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I was a completely different person before I met him, and over the course of 6 or 7 years, he broke me down.
Completely broken down.
Yeah.
And it's like, at first, you feel like this is so right, and it mirrors that. Yeah, and it mirrors that so much so until you get into like the depths of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like I noticed just from my research, and also like your journey with your twin flame, because when you broke up, I knew you were like, it's so hard to not talk. It's so hard to not have that connection and like that wanting to go back and forth. I didn't have that. I was like cold turkey, none.
You were so good.
So good. The next day I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm taking myself out on a date. I'm fine. I can finally post what I want on Instagram again. Like, I'm happy as a clam. No contact still to this day, no contact. And so that's how I knew. It was like, oh, this person just dragged me down.
Yeah.
And it's a facade. So a lot of times, and it's hard to tell because there's like toxic parts in both, right?
And that is exactly how my marriage ended. Mm. It was, you know, like just done. Like I never contact him ever again unless it was a legal reason. You know what I mean? Like it was like I healed so fast from the broken heart of it.
Yep.
Like, and that's why when I compare the twin flame, I'm like, we only dated a little over a year. This was a 7-year relationship and marriage.
Yeah.
And it's night and day.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's mind blowing because it's just like, you get over the heartbreak part of it fast. There's remnants that you still have to work through and like damage that's been done, but the heartbreak part of it, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm moving on because I know moving on is going to be better for me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a twin flame is, again, it has that gravitational pull where you're like, I want to vomit, die. I have no idea how to exist and move on, like, to the next day.
It's like a lack of confidence in your reasoning to end it.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, a karmic partner, I knew, like you said, that ending it was the best thing for me. And that decision made me happy and confident, and I was done.
Good to go.
And then twin flame, it's like, should we break up? Wait, I don't want to. Wait, should we hang out? Should we just be friends? Should we try to be friends? Should we get back together?
So complicated. It's so hard. And it's because it's that other person, like the other side of you. So it's so magnetic because especially if you're in a place where it's like, I love myself and this person is just like all the things that I love. Also like the things I despise. But the things that I love, and so it's like, oh, I just want to be around that because it's like double that energy.
Yeah.
But then the biggest way you can decipher these two, like I said, it can be toxic in both relationships, but with the twin flame, you're growing and you're healing things about yourself that you were likely in avoidance about before.
100%.
So what do you feel like you gained from your separation? Like, how did you grow through yours?
I think just in terms of relationships in general, I became very self-aware and learned different sort of, not tactics, but like different things that I would do or ways that I would approach conversations or confrontations like in a relationship. I would definitely say that because of, you know, like your twin flame is all your, it's the same, but like your shadows, your bad stuff.
Yeah.
I remember so many, so many fights that we had, and yeah, like plural, so many fights that we had. Like we would end up in a position where I remember saying like more than once, I feel like when we fight or when we don't agree on something, you bring out the worst qualities in me, or you bring out the worst in me. Like I would do things or say things that I didn't mean and I didn't believe, or like just to win, just to win the fight, or just to prove that I'm right. Or, and like, and that was a lot of internal stuff, right? Like coming out of me, knowing that I need to figure out how to communicate better, how to fight for not to win, but to resolve a similar issue. Or,
which
like,
is so hard.
It's so ridiculous. And like, I feel like I learned so much about what I want versus what I deserve. Because that's all, you know, like, it's, I feel like I've always just gone after what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was even raised, like, my grandfather, my mother always told me, go after what you want in life. And that's always the mentality I had. But it's more about just going after what you want. It's about going after what you deserve. And I think, like, navigating through a twin flame relationship and, like, seeing those parts that came out, that's something I don't deserve.
Oof.
Yeah.
Mic drop moment. I'm like, oh, that's so good. And I think that's a huge benefit of figuring out like new standards, because like even that coming out, like seeing what you deserve, like there was probably a lot of shadow work around not feeling worthy and not feeling like you deserve that kind of thing. And I know something we've talked about, it's like we always do things for the people that they're not asking for. It's like we always go above. We've had so many conversations about this, like we go so above and beyond and out of our way to do things that people aren't even asking. And then we're like,
not asking.
And
nobody
then
asked you to do
nobody
that.
Nobody asked. Yeah. And those are the fights that you end up getting in, and those types of relationships.
Why don't you appreciate that I just
that I
prepared
just did
this whole weekend for us? And like,
and then they're like, well, I didn't ask for that. It's like, pop.
Okay. Like, so for example, I would, you know, maybe plan this elaborate fun surprise, and like, God forbid I were to, like, don't let me go like on a tangent here, but God forbid, you know, there's
please
a surprise.
We love tangents.
And you know what's funny is I hate surprises, and I'm like getting mad at this person for
planning a surprise,
for like not liking a surprise. So I,
that's literally your own shadows.
Right, I'm facing myself in this relationship. But, you know, I do all these things, go above and beyond, because I'm trying to people please. I'm trying to stay desirable, stay wanted, stay relevant and fresh and, you know, exciting. And it's like you present it and the reaction is smaller than you expected.
Ooh.
And, but then you realize, like, he didn't ask me to do any of that. So it's just like you were saying, you just go above and beyond and do all these things, but then you realize, why am I doing all this? Nobody asked me to do this. No wonder they don't give a shit that you did it. They didn't want it.
We didn't want it. And we do it, we go so above and beyond because we want to be like deserving of this relationship. We want to be worthy.
Yeah.
So we like do it to be good enough.
Yeah.
But we were already good enough or they wouldn't be with us. And one thing you said is like, I want to be, keep it fresh and stay desirable. Is like, oh, one thing I got after my last relationship, it's like, it is not my job to make me desirable to them. It is their choice every day to desire me or to not.
That's a big takeaway.
Yeah.
Though, actually. Like, I've realized a lot. Like, we were just talking about, you know, what did I gain positive from the separation? And I think I've really, really learned to set boundaries with people. Like, I've started setting boundaries in my personal relationships as well now, too. So it's kind of like, I've learned how to really stand up for myself, but still be a nice person.
Right.
And I used to think that they were not one and the same.
Boundaries are so important in relationships, and we're always too scared of being mean from setting boundaries.
Yeah.
But in reality, the people that care about you will always respect your boundaries without taking them personally.
And every single person in my life right now, because it's a very select crew.
Yeah.
Every single person in my life treats me as though I am way more than enough for them.
Yeah.
Like, I can go silent for 2 or 3 weeks, and, like, the only thing that they will tell me the next time they see me is how much they are proud of me or how much they've missed me or how impressed they are. And I'm like, what? Really? I haven't talked to you in like 3 weeks. Yeah. But it's like the people who really have your back when you're not looking.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the difference.
They respect you. They respect the things you're doing. They respect your time. They respect your space. And they respect you as a person. And just as you need space or you need time or you have something going on, it doesn't mean that goes out the window.
Right.
And we're so, like, especially in, like, the childhoods we've had, it's like, that's just not the norm.
Childhood is a different episode.
Different episode! And it's just, like, we get so worried and we think we have to make sure everybody's caught up on things all the time or they're going to forget about us. Or not going to be as important, or it's not going to be good
enough.
That's
what it is. I'm afraid to be forgotten. And I think that's why I'm constantly trying to please people and stay relevant and stay needed. Like, I have an infinite desire to be needed, both professionally and personally.
Yeah.
I've made a whole career off of being needed.
Yeah. People literally needed you to do their job.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you end up getting in relationships because that's a shadow part of you. It's, you know, because it's something that's like filling a void in you by wanting to be needed. And so then you attract people that are like the opposite of that because the universe wants you to go and grow through it. Mm-hmm. And it hurts even fucking worse. That's the worst thing about lessons from the universe is that
I didn't ask for
them. Yeah. We don't fucking ask for it, or what? It's you. The universe will drive the point home. Like, if you're not picking up what it's putting down, it's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder until you hate your life, until like things are literally shattering in front of you because you're not listening or paying attention. And sometimes we genuinely don't see the lesson, or we don't see it for what it is. The example I always give with this is like growing up, especially in high school, I felt like every year my life got worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And it was so negative and things were so bad. And the circumstances happening are not things I could control, but I could definitely control how I was feeling about them and my approach to life and perspective. However, that's not what was going on around me. It's not like I had people around me who were like speaking positively and that were like, you got this, you're strong. Like, nobody gave a fuck.
It's high school.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I'm better than you.
Yeah. Like, nobody cares in high school. I didn't live with my parents. Like, no one was supportive. And so there's times like that where it's like, it gets worse and worse because you're being taught a lesson that you just aren't in the headspace to see. But it does get worse and worse and worse until one day you get slapped in the head and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, or because you can like be learning the lesson, but you don't actually take away the lesson plot until years later. Sometimes. I mean, sometimes it takes me a really long time to learn my damn lesson.
Yeah, and it sucks.
Which is exactly what just happened with my twin flame. Mm-hmm. I had to be, he basically had to dump me like 3 times. Like, how pathetic do you have to be? Like, take a hint. Take a hint.
Take a hint, Miss Girl.
Stop chasing and take a hint.
But
let him run.
But once things finally happened, you had a really empowered moment where you started to take all of your power back.
Yeah.
And releasing your song was like a huge, like, fuck you, this is about me moment. So tell the listeners about that.
Yeah. So it's funny because I feel like, I've always been a very creative person. I've been a singer-songwriter since I was 2 or 3, songwriting since I was literally like 11 or 12. And
our country girl.
country route I went, and did that professionally for a while and kind of tabled it for a solid 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward to being in this twin flame relationship, having it end tumultuously the way that it did, and the push and pull, like we've been talking about the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where, and this is exactly what you just said, where the universe will cut you off and be like, you are done. I can't drop a subtle hint anymore, that like dropping meteors on my head and I still don't get the point. Mm-hmm. And it happened because I couldn't sleep. Like, this whole song exists because I couldn't sleep. And so I would just find myself getting up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and just writing. Right, like, which started out as journaling, and then it's poems, and then, you know, let's be honest, I was just lying to myself. Every poem I've ever written in my life has been a song.
Poem.
A poem, okay. Yeah. It's like a low confidence way to say I'm songwriting again.
A low confidence.
But I kept writing and chipping away at it. And I have a really good friend here in town that I went to music business school with. He works at a studio and kind of runs everything there. And I just called him and I was like, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't get this out of me, mm-hmm. this might be what kills me. Like, I'm gonna explode if I don't get this. Yeah, I'm like ready to record it.
Like a child.
Yeah. And what's funny is that I started writing the song, this specific song, I started writing it 10 years ago in Nashville. It was a country ballad, and mm-hmm. it was a completely different song.
Completely different
song, over inspired by a completely different breakup, and I never really touched it again. It never really like did anything. I kind of just like let it go. And when this sort of moment came up in my life, I realized like this is what I should be doing. And the universe had to do all these crazy things, put me through a breakup, you know, hardships with friends, losing a job, like all of these things started like happening all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I just was like, okay, fine, universe, you win. Yeah. I'll drop everything.
You're
since
like,
I have nothing left. You've taken everything important from me this year.
Bulldoze everything but
yeah,
my home.
Literally.
Right, thank you.
So I just got back in the studio and started recording and started really like going through that process. And that, the process of writing and the process of being in the studio, it was like a 5-month process for a 3-minute song,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like people who aren't in the industry or don't make music or don't understand like how it works, like it really does take 5 months or a year sometimes to make a 3-minute track. Like there's so much that goes into it. And that's like kind of how it happened. And it was kind of a fuck you, you know, because it allowed me to say to him what I couldn't say to his face.
Yeah. And then you played the song for him and basically said it to his face.
And so, like, instead of saying it to his face, I just, like, Spotify
play.
Sang it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, please stream.
Please press play. But, yeah. But the song is called Almost Love, and so it's very much about my twin flame relationship, and it's basically talking about how close and connected a twin flame in a relationship could be, but it's not quite enough. And so it's like this almost love, this thing that could be great, this thing that had so much potential, this thing that I believed in so wholeheartedly, but it just wasn't enough. And it's me saying like, that's fine. Like, I'm ready to walk away. Like, fuck you.
New standards. And the worst part, it's almost because the other person doesn't do the work to heal themselves. That's the saddest reality about
twin
flames.
Frustrating.
Literally, like, my relationship, which as we've talked about, I have now come to realize that it was a karmic one. That person literally suggested I go back to therapy. And I did. And it was great. And I'm glad that I did. But I went back to therapy. And I ended up spending all those therapy sessions talking about the things that he was doing to me. Versus actually learning and
what
like growing
wrong, yeah.
through the things that I had, basically all these trauma experiences that I could have been talking about. It was like adding on, and this person wasn't doing any work to grow themselves.
That's so frustrating.
So bad. And like this translates into twin flames so often, because during that separation and even during the relationship, it's so apparent when one person's growing and the other isn't.
Yeah.
And it's hard because at the beginning, I genuinely feel like you're on the same page at the beginning, because when we think vibrationally, like nothing's going to come into our life unless we're a match for that. So we're on the same vibrational level. But when you're a woman like us, we're always growing. We're always working on something. We have goals. We have ambition. We have drive. We have so many things. We have so much energy. And so we're constantly evolving. And then when this person is staying stagnant and not growing to catch up, it's always going to feel stifled.
Yeah, and it's always gonna feel like for me personally, I make the mistake and made the mistake of taking that lack of growth as a personal insult. Like, you don't want to get better for me, you don't want to do, but it's for me.
Interesting.
Like, and I know in my head, and you know, naturally, like that person has to grow for them. They have to grow for themselves. They have to grow in their own time when they're ready. They're on their own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it so selfishly and so personally of thinking like, but you know, you could change and grow here and here, and that would make us this and that. And like, why wouldn't you want to do that for us? Why wouldn't you want to do that for me? And it's like, they don't have to do that for me. They should do it for themselves, and they're clearly not ready, so that's not a match for me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the hardest part to sort of let go of. And that's probably something, you know, that's part of my growth and, like, what I'm learning is, like, oh, don't treat people like that. Like, don't take things personally like that. Don't make everything about you. Like, it's, you know, like, it's so rejection, right? Mm-hmm. Rejection fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. Rejection is, like, the most debilitating self-confidence destroyer that you could ever imagine. And, like, I think just to avoid rejection, you sort of, like, kind of get in that habit. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, there's so many things to say on this.
It's like, endless topic.
I know. There's, like, so many things running through my head right now. There's one thing that you said that's, like, we want them to, like, oh, well, why aren't you working on this for us, right? And it's because we go above and beyond for things for us that they didn't ask for. Mm-hmm. So we're like, why aren't you doing this in the relationship? Because I'm doing this for the relationship.
Right. It's like, I'm not the master of the universe. Like, I'm not the puppet master. I can't make him change. I can't make anyone change. I can't make him grow. I can't make him stop drinking. I can't make, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
I learned that with my karmic partner too, with my ex-husband, where he had a certain habit that I gave him an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was for me and us and save our marriage. But it was about him. Mm-hmm. And his journey with that problem and that issue, and whenever he's ready to take charge and grow.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't want to do that for me. And that's okay. That's something. I was pissed when I was going down. Like, I can't believe, like, he wouldn't do this for me. But I'm so glad he didn't.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he didn't. I hope he's doing well now, but, like, I'm so glad he didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then it's like that changes the whole path too, because then you separate and you each go on your own journeys and then you develop in character development.
Okay, and so that then brings me to, like, asking you then, how do you let it go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how, because, like, I feel like now I'm at the point where, like, I know the lessons, I see everything clearly, I'm able to remove myself and talk about the relationship and the breakups and all that from, like, a kind of outside perspective a little bit, like, from a distance, but now I have to, like, start letting him go, and that sucks, because you have, like, now I'm in the mindset of, like, okay, like, each day we're going to be that much further apart, and the end goal is total separation, and that end goal still terrifies me.
Yeah, it's still scary, and it's, like, and it's a feeling in your body, which I think is one of the hardest things to get over. Because it's like our body feels and, like, acts in certain ways. It's like trauma responses and defense mechanisms too.
So defensive.
And that's why, like, even what you were saying earlier, we want to control all of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to control every outcome and parts of them, because we know, like, okay, well, if I can control and get this in line, then we're going to be good, because I'm going to feel this kind of way.
Endless planning and plotting.
Yeah, always plotting, always scheming. It's something we love to do. I love control, personally. Like,
who doesn't?
Yeah, especially, like, growing up very independent. Like, I'd rather just micromanage everything in my life so I know it's going to go smoothly. And that's a defense mechanism. It's like, okay, I'm going to try and control all this so my heart doesn't get broken.
That's what I've done my entire life.
Yeah, and it's so hard.
And it's not working.
It doesn't work.
The results are in.
It doesn't work, people. The controlling thing doesn't work. And that's why when you're expecting somebody to change, it never works. Because, like, you can't control that. They're not going to want to change unless they want to, right?
Right.
And so it's hard, because then we start to internalize these things in our bodies. That's where it gets that pent up. And especially the twin flame is a gravitational pull. So when you're moving past it, I think, from, like, an outside perspective of looking at, like, lots of different twin flame relationships, it's like, once you experience that, it's like you said earlier, it's not unlike anything you've ever experienced. And it's kind of like if you took, like, you know, people make a heart with their hand. Like, if you, this is you and this is the twin flame, you finally come together. It, like, has this XOXO. It has this, like, completion feeling.
Yeah.
And so when you're with that person, you feel, like, whole and complete.
That's why it's so hard to let go. Because I feel like I'm letting go a piece of me.
Exactly.
Which I kind of am.
And you are. And so I think the best way to move on is figure out how to complete that yourself. Yeah. I know. We're going to, like, boo. That's so difficult.
Self-work.
Literally always self-work. Yes. And because it's, like, that's the only way we can heal from any kind of relationship. It's like that person was a part of us. It's a part of your identity, whether it's like being their partner, being their girlfriend, yeah. being a part of their life and vice versa. So it's like there's
I'm in their journey.
Yeah.
I will always be a part of the journey. Mm-hmm. Like I will, we can't take away the, you know, the years that we had together.
Yeah.
All of like the memories. Mm-hmm. Like that still exists. So I just need to find a way to like positively mm-hmm. let go, you know, and not be so like, you know, the first couple months is like just pure anger.
Yeah.
And like disappointment and just, it feels like a failure and it feels like I said, rejection is the worst. Like I just felt so unlovable. And that is such, like, it's such a cliche, like, you know, girl, you know, thing to say.
Yeah.
Like just feeling unlovable, even though I know that it's not me, it's them and it's their decision.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's so hard
it's so
to like
hard.
To keep reminding yourself that because it's a constant reminder.
I know.
It's a constant feeling. It's never ending.
And it's like the most frustrating thing about it is it's hard and it's heavy. But the
and
process
it's sad.
And it is sad.
I'm so tired of just like having that heavy
being
heart.
Sad.
Yeah. I'm just like being sad. All because somebody I don't think is good for me doesn't want to be with me. You know what I mean? It's like, well, could I be
like,
crazy?
Why am I sad about this?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
I theoretically know that we are better apart.
Yeah.
But I want to be with him. Like, I have that desire to be with
him. Because you want the success. You don't want to feel like you took a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coaching session live. It's like, we don't want to take that L in our book. You know, because it's like, fuck, we want this to work because we want it to be a win. But what if that year in itself was just the win? What if that was just the whole
That's
thing of
what
completion?
I need to get to.
And
take it for what it was and know that it was only supposed to be that.
Yeah.
I need to end the narrative in my head that there's like some happily ever after when really it was just, I was supposed to meet this person, have this connection and learn these lessons.
Yeah.
And that's it.
In that
and now I have
time.
To let them go.
Yeah.
Too bad it was only 13 months. Like, I have to get over that.
And it's so hard. It's so hard and it's sad and it's heavy, but it's, like, very simple when you look at it.
Yeah.
And it's never easy, but it's always really simple. And when we look at it in that way, like, this is what it was for the right amount of time, I always say, like, things are going to make sense in 6 months or less. So, like, that journey will make sense in 6 months or less because 6 months down the line, you're here out of complete your own heart. And
which
then
is kind of exactly where I am right now in the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like,
and
things
that
finally
it's just
come
now
together.
Starting to, like, click in my brain of like how long can you make the same mistake over and over again or you know misread the situation in the same way
6 months or less always
6 months or less
6 months or less always like I constantly say that because it reminds us like okay this was just a chapter you know this was just that's what it was supposed to be which like brings me to another thing I wanted to talk about in this episode is that like, we have these soul contracts with people when we come to Earth. So I obviously believe in reincarnation. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but when you come to Earth, you come here with basically your own little book of soul contracts that you're gonna have to deal with. Yeah, that includes like your parents, everybody in your family, like siblings, every best friend you've ever had, every partner, like lots of different contracts that you are basically required to go through in your Earth experience to grow and learn certain lessons. Because my belief about reincarnation is that like we come to grow and expand. You have two purposes, to grow and expand as a soul, and then your unique life purpose that you find as you go through life. And you choose your family, like your avatar character, basically your body, your life. You set all these things up so you can access that growth that you came to Earth for. So we have all these soul contracts that people are meant to interact with, shitty or amazing, and everything in between, so we can learn and grow through those. So the best thing is like separating this person from like an end all be all. We're going to have a union. We're going to have all this and that to be like, maybe our contract was X amount of time and this is what was in the contract. And I learned my lessons.
That is how I'm like more or less having to look at it with that type of perspective in order to be able to be like, okay, let go. Like every single day is a challenge, is a day for me to be like, don't text him.
Yeah.
Don't call him.
Because there's the temptation always, and it's going to be that feeling in his body.
Every
until,
hour.
Literally, it's going to be there until it's not.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to look at it is, like, is the soul contract concept, and looking at, like, this person made you feel whole and complete, so how can I make myself feel whole and complete? And, like, even doing journaling of, like, what did this person do that made me feel that way? Or what was it? And a lot of times, it's not even things they do. It's just how they be and their presence, their energy. And it's like, what were some of their energetic qualities that I just felt safe around?
What it is, too. So if I can, because I do, he does make me feel very safe and very comfortable and very, like, protected and at home and, like, you know. So I just, if I can sort of figure out how to give those qualities to myself and create those environments for myself, then I won't feel like I need him.
Exactly.
Because I don't need him. I just need those things that I'm missing.
Yeah. And we become drawn to these people and attached in, like, these toxic relationships because they're bringing that element that we want so badly. But we're only attracted to that element because it's something we have within ourselves. We just haven't accessed.
Yeah.
And so I think with a lot of times with that, it's like, it's doing that journaling. Like, what did they have that I really valued? Or what kept me, like, stringing along for so long? What were those feelings? And why haven't I brought that about myself?
Right.
Because then, because there could be so many fears that come with that too, which is why shadow work is so important. Of like, okay, well, if I made myself feel safe, then, like, then am I going to isolate? Because then I don't need anybody. And then am I going to be hyper independent? Or there might be, like, the fear of, like, oh, well, what if I become so self-sufficient nobody relates to me anymore because I don't need anybody, right? There's going to be all of these thought patterns.
Different spectrums too.
So it's so interesting. And it's looking at all of that. And really choosing to create that for yourself. I know after my karmic breakup, I literally, like, journaled out a whole page of, like, what I would want in my dream partner. That was pretty much, like,
I remember that.
Yeah.
I did that.
And I was so, and I did it when I was so angry. That's why I like when you said, you know, like, I'm just so angry. I did it while I was angry, when I was like, fuck this guy. Like, fuck that. Like, fucking 9 months of my life. This was ridiculous. This was that. And when I was angry, I was like, this is what I deserve. This is what I should be, this is what I should have in my life. Why don't I? There was an ick list.
She made me make
an
ick list.
I did do that.
Yeah.
The things that I didn't like. And then I made a list of all the things I wanted out of a partner. And it's like, okay, these are the new standards that I'm calling in. And then after that, I could reflect on the list. So this is a great exercise for anybody going through a breakup. Is write down the ick list.
It really works.
Like, it does.
There was, like, 3 or 4 months where I had to read that ick list every day.
There's times where you have to. So the ick list is, like, writing down every single thing that they did. That's like, that, like, just, like, literally makes you want to, like, gag,
not
grow
be
up
with
and
them.
Die.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not even want to, like, talk to them, look at them, like, breathe the same air as them ever again. My list was so long. I would just need to go on. All my friends hated this person too, so I had my friends, like, pile into the list.
Yeah.
And so there's the ick list of all the things you're so angry about. I'm like, why the fuck would you do that? And why are you act like that? And why do you look like that? And, like, all these things, right? So you make your ick list. This is your how to get over breakup 101 by Michaela J. Ick list. And then you're going to make a dream partner list. Every single thing you would want out of a dream partner. Mine is a full page. And I've definitely talked about this on the podcast before. And I got so specific of, like, they value loyalty. They value honesty. They value growth and emotional intelligence. And they have a great family unit. Because I didn't have that. So I wanted that from a partner. And all of these different things. And what you do after that list, this is the third step in getting over the breakup.
Okay.
Is reading that list and asking myself, how can I give myself these things now, right? Like, if they are super honest, how can I be more honest with myself? If they are open and emotionally aware or emotionally available, how can I be more emotionally available for the people in my life?
Damn.
Yeah, and that was something that I feel like I really learned and grew through in my phase of being single afterwards. Is, like, I got so close with all of my friends because I was like, you know what? I deserve to be with somebody who's, like, emotionally available, vulnerable, willing to talk about their feelings. And I happened to go through my housing crisis right after. So I was like, hi, I am vulnerable. And every time you talk to me, I'm having a mental breakdown. But this is, I'm just going to show you where I'm at, right? And choosing to embody these things you want out of that kind of person. Because, like we said earlier in the episode, when you meet this type of person, you're on the same vibrational level. Mm-hmm. You're always going to meet somebody where you're at. And so the goal is to put yourself on the level of that person you want to be with. And so that's why we make the dream partner list. And we ask ourselves, how can I embody and feel these things now? And you are going to, like, it's seriously, after you do that and you focus on being that for yourself and not finding the partner, you're going to meet basically somebody who ends up being your soulmate, because that's when you're in the vibrational space for that.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And now I'm married to my soulmate, so it works.
Literally. Yeah.
It works. Seriously. And so then that's a good thing I want to talk about too, is like with a soulmate, because right, there's all these different types of relationships. So a soulmate is somebody who has a matching soul. Your twin flame is the other half of your soul. So it's literally like, again, if you're on a star, you were one being, you came to earth, you separated in two. They're going to be your counterpart, your yin and yang, whatever. But your soulmate is going to be somebody who matches you. So let's say you're like the white side of yin, and they're going to be the white side of yin. And like on the opposite side, like your twin flame, they'll be the yang, and they'll find somebody else who's the yang, and that's going to be their soulmate, like their copy. And this is the person you're destined to be with, because it's the easiest, it's the most loving, it's like, it's the healthiest type of relationship you'll be in. And it just, like, it just makes sense. It just clicks.
So can you have more than one soulmate?
I think so, yes, because I believe that you have like a soulmate partner, but I think you can also have soulmate friendships. And okay. I think that ties in with the soul contract.
Yeah, that's too. Where I was like heading. Like, what's the difference between a soulmate and a soul contract? Soul contract I have with my brother.
Yeah.
Soulmate would be relationships
with, like,
only.
Partner, yeah. Yeah. So then there's a lot of people are like, oh, well, I feel like my best friend is my soulmate. And it's like, yeah,
sure.
Yeah pretty
probably.
Much. You have soul contracts.
Yeah.
And those are like lifetime ones. Because when we think of our soulmate, it's somebody you're destined to be with. It's like, well, the goal is being with that person forever. Same thing with like your best friends. Like when you're meant to meet people, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And like how like we met, and it's like, oh, you're just like meant to like
know this person.
You're meant to be a part of this person's life.
Like you probably moved to that building because like that's how I think about like how we met, and you can tell them how we met
all
the time. But I feel like I like was only supposed to move to that building because I was supposed to meet you. And like that's what I took away from that building.
Literally.
Like there's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 buildings in LA.
And bad things happen in our building. But it was like the one thing that came out of it was like our friendship.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to think about all the things that had to happen and lead us to that point. Because like when I moved to LA, I was living in this massive house in the valley, but it had the shittiest landlord ever. And so I was like, I'm not gonna pay this much money and like get treated like shit, and you're not gonna fix things. So I moved there, and it's like that's the random building I choose.
Yeah,
like in LA, you know, I hadn't lived there
COVID
a year.
If COVID never happened, I wouldn't have even been able to move to LA.
Yeah,
so I would never be in that building.
Yeah, because you would have never relocated for work.
Right.
Like, there's just so many things that line up.
Yeah.
So you can have soulmate friends for sure. So you'll have multiple like soul contracts, but I think of like soulmate relationships is like a soulmate partner.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's just like different variations of that. Because there's going to be lots of people that have similar souls, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I feel like that's what makes, like, your best friends, because they have similar souls to you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So there's, like, the three big spiritual relationships, which would be the twin flame, the karmic, soulmate, and then I always throw in the fourth, which is, like, a life partner. And that's just, like, a floating person that you might date or, like, come across in your lifetime that doesn't fall under any of those categories, but they're just a part of your journey. So if you're, like, listening, you're, like, I have never experienced any of these, but you've dated people before. It's just a life partner. It's just a human.
Yeah. One of your soul contracts that you've developed into more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just one of your soul contracts. So I think that when we listen to all of this and like define all these different types of relationships, you can see yourself where you're at in certain things. And I hope that you listen to this and evaluate the relationships you're in or the relationships you've been in. Because I think also with twin flames, especially once we identify it's a twin flame, we oftentimes will use that as an excuse to put up with more bullshit, you know?
I did for a little bit. Yeah.
I discovered
early on in the relationship that it was my twin flame. So all the negative shit that was happening, I was like, makes sense.
Twin flame.
Twin flame problems.
Twin flame.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so stupid.
I know. We use it as this fucking like excuse to like get over all this stuff. And even when I thought I was with my twin flame, I would do the same thing. I'd be like, well, you know, these are just the twin flame problems. And I literally thought, I'm like, oh, maybe these are some of my shadows coming about. But like I said, upon reflection, those shadows and insecurities that ended up coming were ones I didn't have before. They were created. He created. Yeah. And that's how you know it's a karmic. But don't let any of these definitions keep you in something toxic, because what is toxic, and I think that's important to remember. And like, as spiritual people, like, they love to just write things off, or like spiritually like bypass certain things, or like, I don't know, positive thinking. And there's so many like funny, like, Mercury's in retrograde. Like, we believe in those things, but it's not an excuse for every toxic abusive behavior.
Or
at all. And so it's nice to know these things and to understand the process. Maybe you're with your twin flame, you're in separation right now. Like I said, I know people that are married to their twin flame. So you can have union, but again, that's when both parties choose to work on themselves. They choose to do that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that doesn't happen, and it ends up in a like a separation, and it ends up sticky, icky, toxic, and not what we want. Yeah. So the process afterwards is really choosing to like gain your power back and follow this process of embodying a different version of yourself so you can call in a better partner.
And making your ick list.
Make your fucking ick list.
Make the ick list. It's game changing.
Find it. Well, sometimes I'll scroll through my notes and I find it and I read through it again just for laughs. I'm like, oh, this is so funny. You'll get, and after a while, the best thing of the ick list is like a year later, you're gonna look at it and be like, why the fuck did I date this person? Like, that's the best point to get at.
For me, I think it's like, it's a reminder, because like I said, like in the day-to-day challenge, it's so hard, and we typically only remember the good times, because that's easier and safer, and like nobody wants to remember bad shit, you know what I mean? But like, it helps me to look at it and be like, wow, I forgot. Like, that really happened. That's gross.
Like, that's so fucking embarrassing. One thing I told my clients last week on a call was like, you know, a lot of times my excuses and my shadows, I literally bully them out of my head, because I'll be like, oh, I'm worried it's not possible. That's fucking embarrassing. Believe in yourself more.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you want to lay in bed? You don't feel like it? Like, you're fucking lazy. Get up. Like, I will like bully.
Yeah.
The shadow parts of myself.
That's self-discipline, too.
Yeah. It's like, get up.
Yeah.
You have to have some thick skin sometimes. Like, bullying yourself out of it is the way to go. And so, like, I love, like, that's embarrassing. That's one of my favorite things to say.
Or my favorite is that you say is, your excuses are boring.
Yeah, your excuses are fucking boring.
Yeah,
I'm like, you put up with that because of this? No, that's boring. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the Twin Flame Chronicles.
And, you know, if it doesn't work out, you just write a song.
You just write a song about it, guys. Seriously. Yeah. Before we wrap up, I want you to talk about, what was your mindset in writing your song and going through the whole process? Was it like, I'm channeling, I want to heal in this? Was it, I want to just do something for myself I feel good about? Was it like, this is going to be super successful? Was it, I need to put my attention somewhere? Like, what was your focus?
It was a combination. I think to get started, it was a combination. Like I said, it was, you know, I couldn't sleep and I needed to write and I needed to get it out. And then I felt like I had something to say and I needed to do that. And then when I actually physically took the song into the studio and started working with, you know, the producer and the engineer and a co-writer and the band, and just like really digging into it for 5 months, it became my therapy. Going to that studio was so cathartic, because not only was it something that I love and that I've been passionate about since I was 3 years old, it like brought back old pieces of me that I used to love. And so I started to like feel like myself again, you know, like when I was working on a hook or in the vocal booth recording the chorus, or just sitting at a piano and working out a harmony or a melody, like just being in that environment that I used to be a huge, that used to be a huge part of my life. That was really rewarding. And I think that helped me gain some confidence back. But then another big part of the process was really just having something to look forward to, something to do, a project. Yeah. You know, I was laid off in January. I've had a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that was also, like, just something to work towards, like, an end goal. Mm-hmm. But I will say, when I finished recording it and actually, like, released it for other humans to hear on the internet.
On Spotify.
Yeah, on Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, Apple.
Everywhere. We'll have it linked.
We'll link it.
Yeah.
But after, like, that was really scary to put it out. But after doing that, I think the end process then was, yes, that was really cathartic and therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Yes, it gave me something to do, but it also unlocked those old pieces of me that I was never sure over the last 10 years if I would ever touch again, if I would ever have a desire again. Mm-hmm. And now I know, like, it's there. It's still there. It never went away. I just ran out of things to say, or I got stifled, or I just needed, like, a big experience to really pull it out of me. Mm. And now that I've gotten it started, you know, it's like riding a bike. It's like, right, once you're on the bike and you learn how to ride, you want to, like, go on a hike. You want to, like, trail it. You know what I mean?
I cannot ride a bike, but yeah, we get the example.
There's going to be an episode of me teaching her how to ride.
Oh my god. And Austin is he's a cyclist. I'm like, how did I marry somebody who bikes?
Really?
Oh my god. So
I can't believe you can't ride a bike.
No. My brother taught me once when I was younger. But I never, it's like, it wasn't good for me. And then I went on a trip in France, my very first trip in France, and we, like, part of the trip, we stayed with the host family for a week, and my family loves biking, so we went on, literally, swear to God.
Your family loves biking?
My French family.
Okay.
Yeah, the French family I stayed with loves biking, French of them. We literally packed a picnic and went on a 5-mile bike ride.
Did you do it? My worst nightmare.
I attempted to, and when we stopped for the picnic, we had to, like, bike downhill. Biggest fear.
Oh, no.
And I was so wobbly and scared.
Did you fall?
100%. I ran straight into a French man who was biking up the hill. I straight knocked him down. I didn't speak a lick of French at that point. I had studied French, but, like, I wasn't good at it at the time. Definitely not. I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm just like this stupid American who knocked a man
it's
off
always
his
a
bike.
Dumb American. Always a dumb American.
I'll never get back on a bike after that. Like, it's a no. It's a no.
Fine.
Oh, but anyways, I love that. And I like that there was, like, almost different stages of the process. Because, like, if you can see your healing throughout it, and you said something that's super important. It's, like, just having something to do and focus on. Because especially after a breakup, you want to lay in bed, eat ice cream, and, like, mourn.
Like, which I did.
Yeah. And you should do. You definitely should do. You should have that moment to feel your feelings, but also have something that gets you back on the horse. That gets you back on the bike after you fall off.
Yeah.
It wasn't
if you know
me.
How to ride
one. If you know how to ride one. I was not happy. Oh, the worst part is I did have to ride the bike all the way back, and I was really upset about it. But
God.
I'll never go on a bike.
Traumatizing.
It was so bad. It was so bad. I have so many traumatic experiences in France, but I keep going back. A lesson I'll never learn because I love Paris. But I love that because I think it's important to have something to be working on to move forward. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it unlocked parts of you that you thought you wouldn't access again,
is massive. I mean, there are the music piece of me and those parts of creativity and, like, that old career is definitely something that over the last couple of years, like, over the last 10 years, people have said, like, where's your music? When are you still doing music? Mm-hmm. And it became, like, such a negative thing. Like, mm-hmm. when someone would say to me, like, you know, you haven't sang in years, or, you know, are you still singing? And, like, anytime someone says that to me from my past, it's, like, this feeling of, like, failure, or should I be doing that, or I don't want people to tell me what to do because I love control, so if you want me to do it, I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it because you said it, but I might want to do it.
Right.
But now I'm not going to do it because you suggested it.
And then there was just a period where I was like, I don't have anything relevant enough to say right now, and so that would deter me from writing. But I think now that I have sort of, like, dove back into it, and it was such a cathartic process, like, now I don't really need to write to heal. I need to write to, like, tell my story.
Yeah, just to express yourself.
Just to express it, yeah, and just for the art of it now, the creativity of it.
And I think it's so huge that you were, like, it's not something that was lost forever. It was something you could access again. Because I know I felt that way after my last relationship of, like, I feel like I lost so many pieces of myself. And it's, like, you don't lose them. They were just shut off. It's, like, turning the lights off.
It's been there the whole time. It's just been a dark room in the back of my brain.
And it's hard to turn back on for so many different reasons. I know, like, for me, there were certain parts of my personality that I shut off because, like, this person made me feel uncomfortable being myself. Yeah. Or it's like people asking you and you just want to push it further and further and further. See, like, I'm not doing it right now. I'm not sure. You're so in your head. Mm-hmm. It makes you not want to turn the light back on.
Yeah. And it's a really scary process and it really messes with your confidence. Like, there's imposter syndrome. I struggled a lot with imposter syndrome over the last 6 months because I was working on the song that I loved and other people I thought would love it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my producer loved it and it was going really well. And even the band members loved, like, it was a good song, right? And I just started, like, really kind of leaning into that a bit. Mm-hmm. And it was really, like, kind of like going into, like, your childhood attic. You know, you, like, open up, you haven't been in there in 10 years, and you turn on the lights, there's dust everywhere, and you're like, oh my god, like, I wonder, like, what is all this stuff?
Yeah.
And it turns out, like, I still knew all the stuff. I still remembered everything that was in the attic, why I fell in love with it in the first place. You know, it's like a kind of juggling back to, like, more pleasant times or, like, older memories. But, I mean, also, there were days in the studio where I couldn't write, I couldn't sing, I couldn't record because I was in fetal position sobbing in the vocal booth. Right. And, like, my producer would come down and be like, I guess we're not recording. And I'm like, I can't even get the lyrics out.
Yeah, you're like, my body just can't go there.
It can't go there. I can't physically go there. But that was part of the process.
Yeah.
Me in fetal position on the floor of a vocal booth studio, that is me going there. Mm-hmm. That is how this song got made. That is the process.
And that's part of healing. Like, having those moments when you bring yourself to that point, at least you brought yourself there. Yeah. And, like, feeling your feelings.
Yeah.
That regardless of where you are, what you're doing, and that's the only way you can heal and grow from these situations. And it's like, if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't even have finished the song.
No.
You would have just kept stopping yourself.
Definitely.
And you would have just kept avoiding.
Yeah. Well, it's out there now.
It's out there now, folks, and you can listen on Spotify. We're going to have it linked below so you guys can listen to Lauren's song. I'm also going to hopefully find a way to insert it in this episode because it's
really nice.
It's really cute.
And we had a little launch party.
We did have a launch party. It was so cute. We went and had drinks at a speakeasy down the street from our old apartment building that neither of us live in now. Yay.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
It was cute. Yeah. We celebrated.
Yeah.
We got to celebrate.
You have to celebrate the little wins.
Yes.
You taught me that. Because I would have totally just
stated. Just like, I did it. Published.
Upload to Spotify. Good night.
Yeah, order food. Good night. No, it's like celebrating. It's so huge because it's like there's so much that went into that song. First of all, you started writing it 10 years ago. Even if it's now a completely different song, the seed was planted 10 fucking years ago.
Like, it was supposed to finish at some point.
Yeah.
And it's just 10 years later.
10 years later. So it's like that to celebrate. It was like breakup, rekindling that, like, ended right before the launch.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a whole part of it. Your healing process, getting back, getting access to those parts of you that you thought you had lost. It's like, that's such a huge process that, like, you can look at it and be like, yeah, I made a song. But there's all of that behind the scenes.
And that's what I just over the last couple weeks, like, realized that I need to start thinking about more and embracing it. Because imposter syndrome kicks in and you're like, oh, I released a song. Like, for what? Does anybody even like it? Like, who's listening?
Yeah.
And it's very easy to, like, especially a lot of people, if you're, like, an artist or in any creative space or a creator of any kind, you know, it's putting your own content out there. You do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Putting your own content out there is scary. It's you need to, like, be vulnerable and be brave and ready to face the big bad internet.
Mm-hmm. Get the hate comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll truly feel like I've made it until I get a hate comment on the song.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the first hate comments, they stick.
Yeah, it'll probably be my twin flame.
Yeah.
No, he actually loved the song.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he loved it. Super proud, super proud.
At least he's proud of the damage he has done. Thank you, sir. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for coming on and talking about all of our relationship drama.
So fun. I feel like it was like 5 episodes in one, but all relevant content.
All relevant things. Yeah. And just like knowing the journey of different types of relationships and the process you go through with different ones. I think just brings so much self-awareness, because the more we know, the more we can see in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like the more we hear about other people's journey, it's like, fuck, I do that, or like, shit, or yes. Somebody's gonna hear this and be like, oh my gosh, like I've been learning this lesson with the same person.
That's the main reason I wanted to do this episode.
Yeah,
because like, yeah, it sucks and it was really shitty and I'm still like kind of going through it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely not the only one.
No,
and
no
so
way.
You know, like I'm sure there's at least 100 people, you know, listening right now,
yeah.
Ahead of them, that are like, oh, I need to go make an egg list right now.
1,000%. And you know, you guys know this, and like, you'll know, like, if you know who you are. I get tons, like dozens of DMs after I post episodes with my husband, now being like, oh my gosh, this made me realize the person I'm with, I am not meant to be with. Or people, like, I've gotten so many DMs from people being like, cool. Me and my ex just broke up, and listening to this gave me hope there's still good men out there,
yeah.
Right? So it's like, it's seeing that. It's not, you don't have to stay in a relationship that's not good for you. You don't have to stay in a relationship just because you think they're your twin flame. You don't have to put up with these behaviors.
Right.
There are people out there that will match the list that you make in your journal of exactly what you want out of a partner. And that's what you deserve. And you deserve to be with somebody who lets you feel all the best parts of yourself. And so if anything, let this be an episode that like makes you reflect on yourself in your relationships, because it's not always the other person. Sometimes it's
yeah.
Us. Sometimes we're the problem.
Sometimes.
Not often, but sometimes. You have to do some reflection of like yourself in the relationship, your partner. Is this what you want in your future partners? And it might even show you something that you had in a past relationship you didn't know you needed to work through. Don't be afraid to go cry in a recording studio. That's Lauren's advice. I think it's a great way
yeah.
to heal.
Don't be afraid to just lay down fetal position and let it all out while you're paying for studio time.
Exactly. Tell the people what to look up to find your song.
Lauren Justice on Spotify. The song is called Almost Love, and you can find it on YouTube, Amazon Music, Apple Music, and Spotify.
All the music. We'll also have it linked below. Definitely give it a stream. It's a great song. It's funny. To me, it's funny because I know the whole situation and the person and the storyline.
It's
personal.
It's definitely personal. And it definitely has a little bit of my funny, I guess, wit, mm-hmm. sarcasm mm-hmm. in there a little bit. But
on the side, she's a stand-up comedian. In another life.
In another episode.
Yeah. Maybe on TikTok in the next year.
That is definitely my calling, a TikTok comedian. Here we go.
We'll have a link below for you guys. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. Good luck with your twin flame disasters out there.
We're praying for
you. We're on your side now. Mm-hmm.
We're there for you.
We're here for you.
And if you guys want to know more about what it takes putting together a song, manifesting, having a successful song, how Lauren got together all the resources and stuff, let us know, because we can always do a round two. We always have lots to say.
Yeah.
If you guys want to talk more about the music industry, or if we should just have Lauren come on and do some comedy. I mean, there's the
possibility. If you're like a songwriter in the LA area and you like what you hear and you want to collab,
yeah,
hit me up, because yeah. I have so much to say.
Possibilities are endless.
Right now.
What's your Instagram handle? Tell the people.
LaurenJustice37.
I'll have it linked in the show notes as well. Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. If you love the episode, make sure to take a screenshot. Tag me on Instagram. Tag Lauren on Instagram so we know you're listening. Stream her song. Tag her on Instagram. Share with all of your humans if you got value from this episode. That's the best thing you can do to support our show after this, is listen to Lauren's song and share it with somebody. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to leave a 5-star rate and review. I love hearing your takeaways and wins from the podcast in the review section, so don't forget. Love you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.